Hi, and welcome to episode 3 of the Automated Analytics podcast. My name is Mark Taylor, and I'm the CEO of Automated Analytics. I'm delighted to have joining me here today, Alistair Donson from Dynarod. Welcome.
To myself, thank you.
Absolutely. So, Dynarod have been a client of Automated Analytics for about 5 years now, and actually one of our first clients to actually implement our AI solution. So, I just thought we'd take a few minutes today on our third episode just to talk to Alistair and get his view and a bit of feedback and some knowledge about how he implemented our solution and what results he got. But first, before we start talking about Dynarod, let's talk about you, Alistair. So you've been at British Gas, I think, for about 14 years now.
Yep, coming on 14 years. Various roles throughout the business. Started off working, actually, just as a call taker.
Really?
On an out-of-hours call centre, yeah. Just moved back to the country, two black bags, sofa surfing. That's where my career started with the British Gas. So I went my way up, done many roles the 14 years I've been there. Started off, obviously, on the call centre manager, then moved across into the field roles. So looking after the franchises in the network at the time, it's not an area manager, it was like a service delivery manager, we called it.
Yep.
Sort of one-on-one, looking after that from a KPI performance basis. Then I moved on to did a stint as an area manager. So again, just looking after Scotland and the North as a region for about 6 or 7 months. And then I moved into business coaching. So how we restructured was we'd have the area managers. Then I became, it was myself and a colleague of mine. We were sort of parachuted into the franchises that needed support.
Yep.
And we spoke to them on all matter of things. So whether it was recruitment, whether it was performance-based metrics, whether it was engagement, all sorts of literally anything within the business we support.
So a really rounded experience of actually how a business works, because obviously Dynarod is a franchise business, isn't it? And so when did British Gas buy Dyno?
Dyno's been around 6 years last year, so we're in our 61st year.
Yep.
So quite a lot of history there. British Gas, or Centrica, shall we say, bought them in 2004. Plumbing came, so initially it was a drains business. Plumbing came in the 1990s. Mm. Centrica bought them to support their home care products.
Yep.
And support the upholding that. And then, so it's been around quite a while.
And just to give us a bit of size of Dynarod, so how big is it today? How many franchises are there?
So we have 54, I think, different business units across the country. So we cover it national. We in Northern Ireland, we license out the brand to Southern Ireland. We cover everywhere in the UK.
Good. And in terms of services, you say it's mainly drainage, plumbing. Is there anything else that Dynarod does?
No, purely it's just drainage and plumbing. That's our two revenue streams. Obviously, we're owned by Centrica, so we have to be careful what we get into that space with the gas. But in essence, we service the home care policies and the plumbing side. That's most of our work in the plumbing. And the drain side of it, most of our work from in the drains business is B2C or B2B.
Yes. Yeah. So business, consumer, business, business. Got you. Okay. So obviously, you came to us 5 years ago with a specific challenge. What was that challenge?
So at the time, we had four different systems. So we had a company that we worked with who did our call tracking. We had a company that managed our website. We had a company that did our media spend. And then we had a company that sort of did our social channels and things like that. And those are the sort of bits and bobs. And what we found was that none of those individual companies talked to each other, obviously, because they were separate entities. The reports was all very different. So you'd have a meeting with one that told you one thing, you'd have a meeting with another that told you another. Trying to tie them up really was confusing, A, because they don't talk to each other, also B, how the reports were presented was in different units and measures and things like that. So it was really hard for us to sift through everything that was going on to sort of understand what was happening in that space.
And so it was very much a case of you just wanted that one line of sight of the customer journey.
Yeah. So for us, at the time, we were looking at our website anyway. We were looking at that customer journey piece, and it all made sense. So I think we went out to send them, spoke to you guys, said, how is it possible? What is it you can do? And I think out of everyone that we spoke to, I think there's only you guys at the time that sort of gave us that one track solution of actually, we can show you where it comes from, and we can manage all that, and we can show you where it goes to, full end-to-end journey. But I suppose also what was interesting at the time was it helps not just understand the journey, but also help us spend in the right way, because people think we have millions and millions to spend. We actually don't.
Yeah.
And it was very important to us to make sure we spent the right money and solicited in the right place.
And got the right ROI from that investment. Right. So that you spent £1, you know you could get £10 back or £5 back and where to spend your money. And I just want to pick up on a point you just mentioned about that kind of end-to-end visibility. Because what's quite interesting about the diner business is you actually get quite a lot of revenue from phone calls. It's not just online bookings.
Yeah, because if you think about the nature of our business, it's people are in an emergency situation. They've got water coming to the ceiling, or they've got the drains are overflowing in the homes.
Yeah.
And human nature is, I want that reassurance of speaking to someone.
Yeah.
So yes, we do. We do try and drive a lot online.
Yep.
Efficiencies, costs, it's a lot easier, and we do have that. And we obviously integrate our website into our direct booking system, so it's all seamless. But also, we do have a big part of our business, and the larger part of our business is person to person over the telephone.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think again, we do have in-house technology in phone routing. It's always been used for quality assurance, shall we say.
Yep.
But it never gave us the real understanding of what was going on the calls.
Yeah.
Coming to, obviously, with you guys, with the solution that you've got, it gave us that visibility of understanding what's happening on the calls, not only from listening to the calls, which made it easy, but obviously we've got the transcript, so when you're trying to go through the calls, it's a lot easier to understand and quicker, easier process. You have the sentiment side of it, where we can sort of pick out the keywords that's happening on the calls. But the powerful thing for us as well was, like you mentioned earlier, we have got 52 different franchise businesses, right? We have calls going into our call center that we have at head office. We have calls going into our franchises. Yep. It's understanding where those calls are going, why they're going there, what's been said. So we actually now, through the tracking and capability that you provide, are able to understand what's happening, not only our call center, but what's going on the phones at the local offices as well. And it helps that training aspect. It helps us identify training needs internally and externally with the network. It helps us identify what people are actually ringing up for. If there's any complaints, we can pinpoint that. We can understand what our customers are wanting to talk to us about.
Yeah. So I guess that visibility and that knowledge of what's going on that call, because we're analysing it, you know, almost in near real time, is a benefit. But obviously, you were one of our first clients to actually implement our AI, which we're very proud of, Donrod being one of the first. What's the benefits that you've seen off the back of it?
Apart from everything we've just gone through, that is benefits at different levels. So that's obviously our training, understanding, listening, AI capability. But actually, from a KPI and performance point of view, we've seen our missed calls half over the period. And that's across all the boards, call center and at the local franchise level. We've seen our customer service level calls reduce roughly about half again. And that's not saying that our customer service has disappeared. It just means that we're understanding it better and rooting it in the right place.
And the customer journey is getting better. Yeah. So not having to phone you as often or talk to you as often because the customer journey is better because you've done the analysis.
Yeah, less missed calls, We're answering calls in the right places as well. So one of the things we did with ourselves was put an IVR in place. So we identified that our franchises have the knowledge of if a customer wants customer service calls and understand what's going on, because all we do at the call centre would pass them through anyway.
Yes.
And we also understood that as a whole throughout the network, our call centre performed better for sales calls and new business than our franchises, just because of the nature of franchise, they've always got the back of the mind of like, can we fit this in?
Yes, and your franchise is your service delivery. Your call center is, well, their job is to close that call and sell that labour.
Yeah, exactly that. So what we did is on the IVR is, because IVRs have a purpose. They do it to a degree. I think and you'll speak to anyone out there, they get fed up of listening to IVRs all the time.
Yeah.
And it makes the journey too long. And again, helps what you do is helps identify where to send the calls and what happens on them. But what we did do is put this simple IVR in, if like, is it a new or existing job?
Yep.
The existing work goes to the franchise. They're in the prime place to deal with that.
Yep.
They've got all the information. They know what they're doing with it. And we were able to get the sales calls into it. So we was able to deal with it in the right place, in the right journey for that customer.
Got you. Through the analysis that you got. Now, what's interesting is when you talk about the initial challenge was actually to solve your kind of almost your marketing attribution. But then I think, and for us as a business as well, from the journey that we've been on with you over the past few years, that's changed into more of a business process and a customer journey kind of analysis piece, really. It's that almost that attribution piece was solved quite quickly. You know, you got an understanding reasonably quickly of actually what the return on investment was from your AdWords or from the marketing activity you were doing. It was then, right, how can we then improve that with business process improvements?
Yes, yeah, it's information, it's data, it's right, it's understanding what's happening. So in regards to our revenue streams, you talked about, we can understand that full journey. We know what keywords, we know what sources our revenue streams come from now. I'm not saying it was simple for you guys to do, but it is quite transparent. When you see it, it's put it in a long list of journey, you can see it quite easily.
Yes.
And I think you're right, it has become a very different relationship now. These 4 or 5 years in is actually, how do we improve process around that customer service piece? How do we understand not just that customer's calling back, it's like, why is that customer calling back?
Yeah.
Why are they chasing a call? Is it a chase call or is it something that, slightly different, it's just the nuances which really starting to get under the skin of now.
Yeah, which is that continual business improvement process, not just a one-off hit, which is interesting. Now, obviously, you were one of our first clients to implement our solution, which is AI-based. And there's a lot of talk about AI at the moment. People are worried about it, you know, are they going to lose their job? Is it going to replace them? How's Dynarod found that? You know, you're one of our first to implement it. Have you seen any job losses? Has it replaced anybody?
It hasn't replaced anyone. In fact, quite the opposite. We've grown in our volume of staff that we have. I suppose what AI does do is makes things easy to understand, and then you attribute your time and efforts into the right things rather than the wrong things.
Yes.
It sort of then gives us, now we understand where we are and what we're doing, we can say, actually, we need more people in this area.
Yeah.
We need to understand that. And we attribute our roles accordingly and grow.
Got you.
If we were shrinking, yes, we'd need less people, but we're not, we're growing. So it's good for us.
Yeah, which is good to see. And so somebody in a similar place to you, so wants to understand their return on investment, but is struggling with multiple systems, someone's looking to make that, you know, reduce their customer services calls by 50%, their missed calls by 50%. What would your advice be to them today?
Is obviously go and understand your customer journey and your data. Yeah. Right? And I know it's a simplistic view, but coming to you guys was for us as sort of using that one system, that one tone of voice, that one voice, shall we say.
Yep.
It's easy to understand and you can start to sort of really understand your journey and really link where it's come from, what's happened in the output, rather than doing it very sporadically and in bits and bobs. So you can find someone or some system that sort of can do that. It opens your eyes.
And I think also one of the things you've been very good at doing as a client is taking that data and using it and testing stuff. I mean, that's one of the things that I've been super impressed with, is you're not afraid to test different things. Some things have worked, some things haven't, but you've gone it in a very methodical way and just tested different things.
Yeah, nothing works in life as all the time, every time. And you have to try these things. Yeah, don't be spending millions on something that you don't know about. That's a bit obvious, but dip your toe in, understand what works, learn from it, develop it, move on. And it's that continuous development. You just have to if you just stand still, nothing changes. So you just keep on trying, and things won't work. And I think there's things we've done with yourselves where, oh, let's try this, and we start looking at it, and actually, there's been no value in that whatsoever.
Yeah,
and you don't write it off as like, well, that was a waste of time. You learn from it, and you say, actually, now we're going to focus over here, and the direction it's sort of driven us, like you've said, from initially we thought it was going to be a all about sales and revenue and things like that. Actually, what you learn from that is, well, it's more about the customer service and the delivery.
Yes. Yeah, which made perfect sense. So if you look at the Dynarod business, so it's your 61st year, British Gas have owned you for 20 years. Where do you see the future of the industry going, and what technical innovations do you see are going to come down over the next 5-10 years?
It's the technical side of it is developing very fast across every business. And honestly, I'm really excited about what we can do down the line. I think for me, the focus over the next few years is going to be very much around linking in our strategy around our PPC activity and our spend and our marketing directly through to our capacity management and looking at working you guys on how we can manage that. Just because at the moment we spend so much in certain areas on keywords that we can see working, but actually if our end delivery point hasn't got the resource to deliver that,
how do you match that with capacity?
It's not going to work. So if we can match that to capacity management and say, actually, well, we know these guys haven't got any work because they're full. Well, we won't spend anything in that area for now. We'll reduce it, shall we say. We won't spend it. And we'll spend it where there is opportunity.
Yeah.
That's not saying they won't ever get their spend back up, because what we would say is, well, put more resource in.
Yeah.
We'll get you more money back in. So that's where I'd like to see it going and be a lot more efficient in
spend. And always that demand management of using like programmatic bidding or other such solutions where you can manage that. Basically to demand, based on demands that you've got for the customer, but also what you can actually deliver locally, because you're very much a local business.
Yeah, so like I said, everyone thinks Dynarod's a big household name. National, we are. Our business is local. It's franchised. And really, some people don't forget that. It is it's the locality, it's their business, and we just work with us. But that matching to labour, I think, is very key, is because a lot of people look for the opportunity.
Yep.
And there is opportunity there.
Yep.
We could go spend a lot more money, but it's just going to be wasted because we can't deliver on it.
Yes.
And it's making sure we can match that and drive that. And
maximise that ROI from when you spend your marketing money to actually driving, you know, pounds in the bank account. Yeah, which makes perfect sense. Listen, Alistair, it's been great chatting to you today. You've been a fantastic client for us, and thank you for all of your support. I do appreciate it. That's the end of episode 3. I hope you've enjoyed the insight that Alistair has given over the last 15 minutes or so. My name's Mark Taylor, and I'm the CEO of Automated Analytics. Thanks very much for listening or watching if you're on YouTube.